Now we're getting somewhere. Well done to Mark Evans to admit, on reflection, that the match review panel got it wrong with the Jays' short sling tackle, and more clarity is needed when it comes to players being KO'd and concussed. Jeremy Howe had to get off last night on his sling tackle on Brown of Essendon, only because it would have created an outcry of complaints after what didn't happen to Schultz. Of course, Howe should have been suspended under the laws of the game that states a dangerous tackle is when an opponent is slung or driven into the ground with excessive force and is of an inherently dangerous kind. I think Howe ticks the boxes there. But the good news is the AFL, it seems, in the future will be fair dinkum when it comes to player welfare.
That's Kevin Bartlett and his take this morning. Fair to say, Ox, KB, hasn't been the biggest supporter of the match review panel just of late. Mark Evans is the AFL Football Operations Manager and he joins us on the Home of Footy here in Melbourne. G'day, Mark. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, g'day, guys.
Marco, congratulations yesterday. I agree with KB. It's actually nice to see that when you know a mistake's been made, that we don't stuff around, it comes out and it gets fixed.
I think we created a bit of confusion with it. The current test is a test of reasonableness. You know, three people who understand the game, understand the guidelines, and they and I separately have come out on the wrong side of this. And we, instead of focusing on what the bits were that were different between the Gibbs tackle and the Schultz tackle, we should have actually focused much heavier on the fact that Ted Richards had his arm pinned in a vulnerable position and had his head hit the ground with some force, and that should have suited as a report, as a charge.
Mark, my ears did prick up when I heard that you were going to pop your head in and see how the match review panel was going. It was always my understanding, and I think most people's understanding, that that body was an independent body. What is the situation with yourself and the match review panel?
The MRP is an independent body, and a couple of our staff run the video and highlight guidelines and any previous video to show and things like that. That's on our tribunal DVD for they run that process. The panel has three determine either 3-0 or 2-1 what an outcome will be. And this year, I've been dropping in at the end of that for 15 minutes to get their explanations on things that require that. Yesterday, I spent an hour with them, not determining any of the cases, but to critique exactly how we got to where we got to on the Schultz decision and how we should come out of that and reset. So if that's cleaned up that confusion, I would hope.
So what would Jay Schultz have got?
Jay Schultz would have been graded as a careless act, and it would have been a high-impact injury, so at the very least. So it would have been graded the same as Gibbs.
Mark, Sam Mitchell in round 12 had no case to answer with a knee to Tex Walker. This time around he did. What's the thinking there?
I reckon the MRP, the first time they saw it, with Tex Walker coming at Mitchell, might have given him the benefit of the doubt. And when they saw it the second time around, they weren't prepared to extend that.
As simple as that. Even though the two things are the same, so if we see it a third time, it'll be thought of as the second time, and the fine will be doubled, I'd imagine.
I think in Sam's case, he might have had another low-level offence already this year. So if that was to happen again, it would actually be a suspension.
So, Mark, does that go for all players? If a player goes into a collision situation and fends off with the knee, if it's the first time that the AFL or the match review panel have seen that, will he get a chance?
No, I don't think he'd be as clear-cut as that, because it's an unusual action. I think probably the other difference in these two was that Walker was coming towards Mitchell, whereas in the Fife incident, it appeared that Mitchell was heading towards Fife. So there were some differences in that. It's not something, oh, I don't think we see it. Certainly, I haven't seen too much of it over the years, but once we saw it a second time, I think it was deserving of being pulled up.
Mark, there's been discussion about stoppages from the weekend. Particularly in relation to boundary throw-ins, why are the boundary umpires being instructed to wait for the ruckman? Previously, they were told to throw it in as soon as they got it. Isn't waiting for the ruckman causing more players to come around the ball?
Yeah, it can. Well, there is a balance between this, because I think a couple of years ago, we tried to go a lot quicker. And you might notice the commentators and the public, every time a boundary throw-in actually hits the ground and there are no ruckmen there, whether it's the boundary umpire's fault or the ruckman fault, the scorn comes onto the boundary umpire. I think we say we don't want it to go to stretch out to be too long, and there have been a couple of occasions where we felt it has, But where possible, if it's just a wait of 1 second to make sure that the ruckmen are ready, then that's okay. We just don't want it to stretch out too long.
And Mark, are you concerned about how much congestion you're seeing and how many stoppages? And if so, what's the answer?
Oh, if I had the answer to give you straight away, I'd be a genius. But the rise in stoppages has continued. And the start of the year, I think we were quite pleased with how the game was going. The first eight rounds, a combination of ball movement and style of play, and possibly the introduction of the holding the ball prior opportunity, those changes, I thought the game was in a pretty good spot. And I think across, we're 15 rounds in, I think we've had some outstanding football, some compelling contests, scoring a little bit down at the start of the year. We're now in the depths of winter. We've got, it's harder to execute those skills in the wet weather. We've probably had one of our toughest Friday night games, which has set the scene. There were some other really exciting games. I'm not too much of a in the doomsday basket on football in general. We still have yet to sort out the correct way to be able to spread the game out a little more than it is. And we're seeing now a really hard push in defensive 50 stoppages, a really, really hard compression of that. And the first priority there is to just, seems to be to nullify a score. And ultimately, if you compress that hard, you have very few ways that you can exit that. And I think that's why we're seeing more boundary play.
Mark, what about Thursday night footy? Has it been a success? Have you spoken to the broadcasters? Have you spoken to, have you had any fan engagement to understand if it's on the nose or if it's something we'll pursue?
Yeah, the numbers are pretty good. And you remember off the back of last year, we got the feedback that Monday night football wasn't working. Sunday night football and late games on Sunday wasn't working, but there was an appetite for Thursday. Simon Lethlane had plugged in five or six of them for this year. And they seem to have worked pretty well with good matchups. Game in Perth was fantastic. A couple of games in Adelaide, fantastic. One in Sydney. And so I think it's worthwhile continuing with that. That's certainly Simon's view, and he'll schedule that again for next year.
Mark, Mick Malthouse joins the Morning Glory Boys from time to time. He was there this morning. He said this morning that the game's too long, and he wants to see umpires call time off less. Pretty much around the ground, maybe not at the boundary throw-ins, but certainly around the ground, just to subtly bring the length of quarters down, maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes a quarter. What are your thoughts there? I agree with him, just so you know, but what are your thoughts?
My gut feel, and this deserves to be tested amongst people who pay the way to go to the footy and what they want to see, but my gut feel is when a quarter is stretched out to 33, 34 minutes, it feels like it's gone too long. Yeah. My off the bat feel about football is somewhere sort of 28, 27, 30 minutes at the tops is about right. But that deserves to be tested amongst the fans.
Mark, I just want to ask one more question in relation to the MCG not being available for round one next year. Are we at loggerheads, or is there a possibility that the MCG won't be available for football in round one?
But there's still some discussions to be had on that, but what we would say is to start off the football season and to have Richmond Carlton on the Thursday night and to have big games across the weekend and culminating in Hawthorn and Geelong on Easter Monday has just been an outstanding thing for this city. And I'm sure that discussions with cricket will continue and we'll try and find a resolution.
So, Mark, is that only an issue if Victoria make the Shield final, or is the ground booked?
No, that's my understanding. It's about the Shield final, and obviously when you actually find out that final is going to be played. The long-term plans, obviously, is to have that at Junction Oval when that facility's up to scratch for that. But there might be a short-term solution, and that's what we'll keep working towards.
So, Mark, as we let you go, if someone pins the arms this week and slings someone down, they're going to get 2 to 3 weeks down the two if they take it, or if someone gets their slammed down and their hands aren't pinned and they get a concussion, it'll be the same as Jeremy Howe? Is that what you see?
No, there'll still be a determination. At the moment, what we have been put on the agenda by some people is that we just move to strict liability, which is an assessment of what happens, what is the outcome. Well, that is not the system we have, and at the moment we have 3 learned footballers who determine whether the actions were reasonable in the circumstances.
So that happens right now, from this point onwards?
liability.
No, strict liability has not come in. Right. That's a greater discussion. I think there's some merit in getting some coaches into that room to work out if we make a guideline around this, how are you going to instruct players? And I'm sure they can be helpful to us in that.
Mark, I saw you in your Okanui's and your singlet up there in Cairns. Is Cairns footy going to continue?
I'm not sure that was me, but anyway.
I saw you up there in a suit anyway. Will it continue on?
Yeah, look, Cairns has been terrific. Yeah. People up there put on a really good show. And, 10,000 people come out to the game each time. It's a great regional venue. And I'd have to say it's not a bad thing in the depths of winter to just escape for a day or two. It was quite handy.
Mark, congratulations once again on making things a little clearer for us this week. Well done. We'll speak to you again.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Mark Evans there, the AFL Football Operations Manager.